Thank you, David, for that song. Certainly it does fit into the message. And Steve, thank you for taking care of the preliminaries to this service this morning. This pandemic quarantine had me frustrated, as it has almost everyone. For me to go through the spring of the year without talking about the passion of my Lord and his glorious resurrection, I just wanted to scream and do what I did in the past, go out in the street corners and proclaim it. I wanted to preach about our Lord's passion and resurrection. So today I'm preaching on resurrection joy. And if there's one predominant attitude about our Lord's resurrection, if there's a word to characterize that day, that one word would be joy. Joy permeates the Easter story. Men and women and angels and the triune God. There's a never-ending joy that flows from that empty tomb. Peter says it's joy unspeakable and is full of glory. It not only goes out of Jerusalem that day into Judea and all the parts of the world, but it reaches to the highest heaven, even the heaven of heavens where God reigns. And today we want to trace that unending joy that comes from the empty tomb. Matthew tells us that when the women departed from that empty tomb, they left with fear and great joy. Jesus said to them in the upper room, "Your sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. I'm going to rise." And really, Easter is the feast of Christian joy. "This is the day the Lord hath made," David said, "and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it." We meet on Sunday, every Sunday, the first day of the week, to celebrate our Lord's death and his glorious resurrection. Now let's trace that joy that comes from the empty tomb. First of all, the resurrection brought joy to the Heavenly Father. God's only begotten Son was alive from the dead. His Son, who purged us from our sins, would now be returned back to be seated at the right hand of his Father. The glory that they shared before the world was would be restored. The Father would receive with joy his returning Son. The Son, according to Proverbs 8:30, was ever with the Father. The Son was always delighted in the presence of the Father. The Son was separated from the Father for more than 3 decades. Some think about 33 years. And we don't know how long that would have been in God's terminology. If we take Peter's thinking, Peter says one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. If we add it up that way, I figured it out that it would come to 12,500,000 years that they were separated. We don't know how long that separation was in the mind of God, but now his only begotten Son, whom he gave to be nailed to a cross, to bear your sins and my sins, would be returning. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And now Jesus said to his disciples, I ascend to my Father and your Father. I ascend to my God and to your God. Can you imagine the joy when the Son returns to the Father's house? And God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The prophet Zephaniah, speaking of God, says this, God will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. God loves joy and he loves singing. And I can see the Son returning. You remember the story of the prodigal in Luke 15, when the son who went to the far country and wasted his substance, when he started home and got turned around, the father saw him coming and ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him. And he said, rejoice, this my son that was dead is alive. Can you imagine the joy? We can't even begin to comprehend. Our minds can't take it in, the joy that would have been there when Jesus Christ, God's only Son, returned to the Father. Secondly, I want you to understand that resurrection joy brought joy to the Son. Jesus was called the man of sorrows. Sorrow and anguish was a portion of his cup. And when he said, "Can this cup pass from me?" in Gethsemane, from Gethsemane until they laid his lifeless body in the garden tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, his life knew nothing but sorrow and anguish. But Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. Isaiah 53 tells us that he not only was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, but it tells us that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He will declare his deity by the resurrection of the dead. The gates of hell cannot even begin to prevail against such victory. Jesus said, "My joy is complete because through my sorrow I have brought many sons to glory." I say it was a joy to Jesus that he arose from the dead. The resurrection brought joy to the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's joy. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were always filled with joy. We read in Hebrews 9:14, the Trinity is mentioned in this passage. It says, "Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." Now the question is asked, who raised Christ from the dead? Well, let me take you in your thinking to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 says, "If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Christ was raised from the dead by God. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised his Son from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then also we find in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that it says, Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that quickened, he'll quicken your mortal body. So we see from Romans that the Father raised the Son. We see that the Son came out of that tomb on his own strength, and the Holy Spirit did it. We see that the Godhead never works independently or separately, but always together. It's Trinity in unity. That's how it goes together. The Holy Spirit rejoiced over the empty tomb. The Spirit for sin had been paid. Redemption story was finished. And now Christ is risen. And there's joy. The resurrection brought joy to heaven. Certainly there was joy in heaven among the angels. Angels are ministering spirits. The songwriter said they watch over us all day. They watch over us all night. We'll never know till we get to heaven what angels have done for us in our protection and guidance and our safety. Angels are ministering spirits. They ministered to Christ when he was here. They announced his birth on that hillside in Judea. It was the angels that said to the shepherd, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And then they strengthened him in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil. They guarded him in the tomb from any further interruption. And Jesus said to them, "Don't you know I could call for 12 legions of angels right here in the garden?" Some think that that's between 85 and 100,000 angels could come to me right now if I wanted them. They stood with vigil at his tomb. They stood at watching, guarding his tomb. No friend, no enemy would enter that tomb and take that body out. None. And the angels guarded it. And then that day that he arose. They joyfully announced his resurrection. They said, he is risen indeed. I want to say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over the resurrection and over one sinner that repenteth. The angels know that the only way a sinner can repent is because their Lord and Master went to this earth and died and arose. And therefore, when a sinner comes back to Christ or is converted and is on his way to heaven, they rejoice because they know it's because of what their Master did. Angels, they're innumerable, they excel in strength, they rejoice. In fact, I want you to know that there are 80 references to angels in the book of Hebrews alone. And then the resurrection brought joy to the disciples. The disciples did not have the scriptures that we have, would tell us that Christ would suffer and then be raised again. But in the upper room, their hearts were glad when they saw their risen Lord. The resurrection really meant a reunion. For 40 days, the resurrected Lord showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. His resurrection meant power for ministry. They were equipped with the Holy Ghost, and they would go to the ends of the world proclaiming the gospel. John Bunyan was imprisoned for 12 years. Because he proclaimed the gospel. He had a fluent tongue and a ready pen. And they locked him up. And they'd come to him yearly and say, if we let you out, would you stop preaching the gospel? He said, never. I'm going to preach the gospel as long as I live. And this is what he says after those 12 years of being confined to a prison. I was at home in prison. I sat down and wrote and wrote and wrote for the joy of the resurrection, and he wrote that best seller, reader, read more than any book in the world outside the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. They transcended political barriers. They would say, we must obey God rather than man. They couldn't be held back, beaten, stoned. They went on proclaiming the word of God. Joyfully, they went to the ends of the world teaching and preaching this glorious gospel of the resurrected Christ, and they turned the world upside down. Jesus of Nazareth, that carpenter from Galilee, through wooden nails would redeem mankind and purchase their salvation. An English preacher, a very popular English preacher, on Easter, preparing his Easter sermon, he realized that the resurrection was not simply a story, it was a truth that happened 1900 years ago, that Christ actually arose. I believe it, and I want my people to believe it. And when he left his office that day, he came out and he proclaimed that Christ lives, I know it, and my people shall know it. I say to you, the resurrection brings joy to all believers. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The resurrection brings joy because of reconciliation. Because of the empty cross and the empty tomb, God has been appeased, and God, through Jesus Christ, brings us to salvation. There was joy of eternal life from this risen Lord. We know that we've passed from death into life because we have trusted Jesus. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved, that God raised his Son from the dead. There's a joy of sanctification. Holiness, let me say, is the word sanctification, holiness go together. It's a product of our union with Christ. It is the risen and glorified Christ living his life in and through us. That's all sanctification is. Christ in me, my hope of glory. He came out of the tomb that I might have life and have it more abundantly. We have the joy of immortality. Job says, if a man die, shall he live. All the days of my life have I waited, And then Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. God's put eternity within our hearts. We're not satisfied with earth. Nothing in this earth satisfies us. We have no continuing city here. I read of a pilot who, when he would fly over a certain location in a valley, he would look down every time he went over. And his co-pilot said to him one day, why is it every time we fly up that valley, you look down? Well, he said, you see that stream coming down that hillside? When I was a boy fishing, I would look up and say, I wish I was flying. Now I look down and say, I wish I was fishing. I mean, this world just doesn't satisfy us, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. Nothing satisfies us. But the joy of his resurrection, Jesus went before us into the valley of the shadow of death, tasted death, went into the tomb, came out of it, went to the Father's house, opened the door for us. He has illuminated the way. That's why a little 8-year-old boy could look me with confidence in his eyes, dying with leukemia, saying, Pastor, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus. Without a tinge of fear. And in a day he'll be dead. Why? Because of the joy of the resurrection, because he lives, we shall live. What a reunion that's going to be. The empty tomb tells us that all that die in Christ, their graves shall be opened and we shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. The earth will cast off her dead and we shall forever be with the Lord. I had the funeral of a man. I might have told you this story. A dear friend of mine, a treasure at the church for decades. He was dying. His wife had died 2 years before. They worked together as a team in church ministry. And I went to see Foreign on Monday, and he was in a coma. Went Tuesday, he was in a coma, couldn't even rouse. Wednesday, I went in, he was sitting up in bed. He looked at me, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to see my wife. I looked at him, kind of blank-faced. And he said to me again, Pastor, I'm going to see my wife. As if, can't you rejoice with me? Aren't you glad for me? And I just thought, oh my. Before the night was over, he was in glory. You see, we have the joy of reunion. We shall be together. Husbands and wives separated from death, children and parents together forever. We shall have the joy of seeing Jesus. Peter said, whom having not seen, we love him, even though we haven't seen him. But we shall rejoice with joy unspeakable in that day when he comes. It says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see the King in his beauty, but it will still be this same Jesus, the Lamb slain and crowned with glory. We'll see the one who was dead, who is alive forever, the one who died and arose again. Resurrection joy brings us to a place of consecrated living. The one sure mark of Christianity is not faith, not even love, but it's joy. Joy is what moved that early church to the ends of the earth. And the things that impressed me most in my life as an before I came to Christ was the joy that believers had. They didn't own anything in this world, but they taught Sunday school, and there's just a joy. There was a joy emanating from them that I couldn't explain. In that early church, we follow Paul and Silas to Philippi. The magistrates apprehended them, drugged them through the streets, beat them with many stripes. Their backs were bleeding and open, and they were the worst of criminals. It says to the put them in the inner dungeons. These people are the worst of the criminals are Christians. And they were made fast there in the stocks. And it says in the midnight hour, they prayed and sang praises joyfully to God. It was that resurrection joy that touched this world. Paul said, rejoice forevermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, but rejoice that you would ever be counted worthy to serve him, to live for him, to suffer for him. There's a joy that emanates from that empty tomb that ought to be in the heart and the life of every child of God. Because he lives, we shall live. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.